Well, the theme for the second week of Advent is that joyful cry of John the Baptist, repent. The collect prays that we'll be given grace to heed the warnings of the prophets to repent. And the gospel begins with these words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is promising us good news. And the first thing he writes about is repentance. The good news of Jesus Christ, the coming of Christ into the world, begins with repentance. Does this seem odd to you? How is repentance the beginning of the good news? Maybe some of you have seen a cartoon that I've seen published many places. I think it started in New York. It was a raggy guy in sandals holding up a sign that said, repent, the end is coming. My recollection is that there were actually quite a few people like that on the street back in the 80s. I had a first job when I moved to Syracuse in the late 70s in an emergency room doing psychiatric evaluations of people that the police brought in. And we had quite a few people calling us to repentance there. Somehow, none of those calls to repentance seemed to resonate with me. I never found their exhortations very compelling. And they didn't remind me of good news. Some of you may have heard preachers who have preached like that. I have seen preachers pointing their fingers at people and saying, repent, repent. I didn't ever find that very compelling either, and it didn't feel like good news. But here in our gospel, at the very beginning of Mark, we have John the Baptist saying, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, repent. Jesus, too, called people to repentance, but not with finger-pointing. When Jesus arrives on the scene, the first thing he does is submit to John's baptism. Isn't that astounding that Jesus, who of course wasn't sinful, would make a gesture of repentance? What does that mean? At that very moment that Jesus was baptized, he turned his life in a new direction to take up the call to preach, to teach, to heal, and to begin to bring people into this new kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace and justice and love for all. Repentance that Jesus models for us isn't about feeling guilt. It isn't about having shame before others. It isn't about putting on sackcloth and ashes to try to appease God. It isn't about self-punishment to try to even things out with our own conscience. It's none of that. Repentance, as Jesus shows us, is about turning our lives away from whatever direction we may be going to the direction that God is calling us to. The moment Jesus turned his life from the private unknown life as a Galilean carpenter and took up his identity as the Son of God was the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ for the world. So, the good news did begin with repentance. And the word repentance means to turn. Have you ever gone hiking with a map and a compass, orienteering? You use the compass to get the map set straight, and then you can kind of see where you are and which way you're going. And oftentimes I found that even though I meant to be going north, I was going a little to the west or northwest or maybe to the south. We might find that we are just a degree or two off track, or we might find that we're 180 degrees wrong. As hikers, though, when we find that we're off track, we make the correction and we continue on. I suppose some hikers might waste their time and energy with finger pointing and accusing one another and all kinds of acrimony about why they're off track. But I will tell you, I am not going to the wilderness with those people. And I don't want to take my spiritual journey with people who do that either. I think that whenever you find your fingers starting to do this, it means that you should make it do this. The most iconic story Jesus told about repentance was the one that we know as the prodigal son. I think you all know this story well, and you know that the son went off and he engaged in all this immoral living that would be displeasing to his father, and he spent all his money and he ended up living with the pigs, which was an unclean and impure place to end up. A place that was against the Jewish law with the pigs. Pigs also represented the Roman Empire, the legions, and the oppressors. And that's where he ended up, not in a good place. And he was starving and miserable and lonely. And that was when he began to think about turning his life around. Isn't it interesting that in Jesus' story, this young man didn't turn his life around because someone was pointing fingers, but because he felt a lack and a need and a misery in his life, saw that things were wrong. He had gone down the wrong track. Jesus assures us that when that young man turned back to his father, the father was not waiting for groveling or begging or bargaining, but received him with open arms, with a ring, with a cloak to replace his tattered old rags, and a feast. And that, whenever we turn our lives in a direction more towards God, we will have the same response. The beginning of good news of Christ in our lives and in the world. Whenever we go astray, find that we're in a mess, God is longing for us to get back on track. Advent for us this year is in the dark shadow of Ferguson, not just the town of Ferguson, Missouri, but all that Ferguson has become a code word for. But the light shines even in the darkness. That is why we light our Advent wreath, to remind us that. We are invited in the darkness to check out our direction, to see if we are being guided by the light of Christ. I can promise you this, none of us is totally 100% of the time. It is tempting to start pointing fingers at other people, either as individuals or as groups, we's and they's, and tell them to repent. But Jesus, remember, tells us to get the log out of our own eye before we try to remove the grain of sand in someone else's eye. I have been saddened by the finger pointing and worse that has gone on in the last weeks in our community. We are called with something different. We not only need to look in the mirror, because that isn't enough. When we only look in our own mirror, we see our own reflection from our own perspective. We need to see ourselves from others' perspectives. Do you remember the passage we read not too long ago from Matthew that said, Jesus said, as you do to the least of these, so you do to me. I think we could extend that to say, as you are seen by the least of these, so you are seen by me. We know our intentions, Do we know how we are really impacting the world? To make changes in the whole devastating situation that is called right now Ferguson, we need to see ourselves, the corporate we, however we define we, in the perspective of the corporate they, and then think, what is the gospel response? The gospel promises us this. We can decide at any moment to reorient. We as a community can decide at any moment that maybe we are just a tad off track, maybe misunderstood just a bit, maybe neglected just something that could have been done. Maybe we just need to push a little bit in a new direction or a lot. And whenever we do that, God will celebrate. We don't have to be afraid to admit our sins. We don't have to grovel for forgiveness. We don't have to take on a mantle of shame or punishment. As soon as we turn to align ourselves with God's kingdom, Jesus is already arriving in that place. That, to me, is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. Amen.